to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. Hi, I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you're joining us today. God has a special message for you. We want to encourage you to take some notes, but most of all, to open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
Usually it's me that goes, and all year long I've been traveling around all over the U.S., from Alaska to Florida to New York to out west. I mean, I've been all over the place speaking in churches and seeing God's beautiful creation in our country here and enjoying getting to know the family. But this week, my wife, she needed to get out of the house. I said, it's time for you to get out of the house and quit packing, because we're leaving in about 5 weeks, 6 weeks to go back to Uruguay. January 1st we leave to go back. So she's been packing like crazy. I've been gone enjoying the great life of travel and speaking and enjoying meeting so many people, like I said. But I said, you know, it's time for you to go. We did a month or so ago, we decided, okay, I think Timbrel needs to go. It's time for her to get out. And we knew she'd be crazy busy at home. If she stayed home, she'd just be home packing. So she came, and she has been blessed by just meeting with you guys. And she's been well taken care of. She calls me every night, and we talk every day, and she's told me what's going on. She's like, there's a hunger here. There's a hunger. There's something evident here. God's doing something here. There's a stirring of the pot anointing in this place where people are coming together, where people are wanting to go deeper, where people are enjoying church life and just what's going on. And it's blessed my heart to hear from her. And I came up with the kids. I brought them up after school on Friday from, we're living in Stone Mountain, Georgia right now. And I brought them up on Friday, and just, you know, in the little bits I've been able to connect and to see what's going on here, it's blessed my heart. It really has. I love what God's doing here. All glory to Him. Praise Him for what He's doing. So thank you for hosting us. Thank you for having us into your lives, inviting us in. Because you see, everywhere I've been, everywhere I've traveled, we spent 4 years in South America, Central and South America, 3 years in Uruguay, and a year in Costa Rica, our first term. And we came home, and it's been really nice because I feel like we've come home to family. Now, families can get pretty messy at times, believe me. Families can get messy. But family is a place where you can go and be real, hopefully. Family is a place where you can go and let your guard down and rest. I remember in college, I used to go home from college and spend time at my parents' house on long weekends or holidays or whatever, and take all my dirty laundry home for my mom to do, you know, and all the good stuff that college guys do. But I loved going home because the first night I'd be home, my dad would have something on the grill. He'd have the fridge stocked with, you know, Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew, and mom would do my laundry and wait on me hand and foot. She just loved it. My mom kind of spoiled me. But I was kind of like an only child, even though I wasn't. I was the favorite. But don't tell my brothers and sisters that. I was the youngest, and I was the baby by like 8 years, so I really was like an only child. Anyway, but I just loved going home. I loved that feeling. I loved just being able to come home and relax and sit around outside with a grill and smell what's cooking and just to be able to come and relax and be home. I think, you know what, that's what our hearts yearn for. That's why we go to church, I think. We want to come to a refuge. We want to be around people that are refreshing. We want our souls to be able to rest. It's not always that way, right? Because families get messy, right? But it's a place to come to and be real and be transparent and open. And you know, that's exactly how Jesus taught His disciples to pray. You see, I mean, we come to church and sometimes we think, you know, church is a refuge for us. Church is a place to come to get away and to come and worship God and be together. And we enjoy going sometimes not. But, I mean, we enjoy going for the most part. And it's like a getaway from our daily life, I mean, our weekly life. And we spend this time, you know, coming. We want to just be with other people that think similarly to us and worship together. And it's refreshing. Sometimes we get something out of the sermon. Sometimes not. I don't know. Depending on what's going on. But It's a refuge. But then church kind of can get weird and rough sometimes, and then church can be, you know, we can get really busy doing things, and we can get involved in all kinds of groups, and we start getting tired. And I was reminded this morning when John encountered Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, and one of he wrote letters to the churches, and one, the first church he wrote was Ephesus. And you know this probably, but he wrote all this stuff. You know, you've done good at resisting evil, and you haven't been weary. You've worked hard. You've done a good job. You've done all this stuff, and you had a good foundation, a good start. But then he says, but you've forgotten your first love. You've forgotten why you even come together. You've forgotten to come and encounter the love of God. That's the whole point. That's why you come to church. Not to hear a good sermon or have good worship. And those are all part of it. But you come for an encounter with the love that's unspeakable, that fills your soul, that satisfies you, that loves you. Because when God's presence shows up, in His presence there is fullness of joy. And that's why we come together. And that's what John's calling those people back to. Because that's what Jesus said in the first place when he taught the disciples to pray. Remember, what are the first two words of the Lord's Prayer? I mean, I'm excited you guys are already talking about this stuff. What's the first two words of the Lord's Prayer? What does that mean? Tenant? Landlord? Business relationship? What does that mean? Come and sit around the grill. The asado in Uruguay. Have a cold one. Enjoy yourself and rest. You got to know who you are. And you got to know who He is. Because in identity, as a son, as a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you are welcome in His presence. And you don't got to clean yourself up. You don't got to change a thing. You don't have to do anything. And that's the wonderful, I mean, that's what God has, that's how He designed us for, is relationship with Him, to be His child. That's why we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. He wants us to. And He provided everything because we messed it all up. And we rejected Him. We've all gone astray. There's no one that seeks Him. No one does good. We've all, like sheep, have gone astray. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to fix it all, to make it all right. And He died in our place. He took all the wrath and anger, I mean, all the stuff that God had against sin, the Father placed it on Jesus. And Jesus gave us His righteousness and clothes us with His righteousness. When God looks at you, He doesn't see a screw up or a mess up or somebody that needs to do something. He sees Jesus, the righteousness of His own Son is upon His children. That's why Jesus isn't ashamed to call you brothers. Children of the Most High God. You're welcome to come in. That's the first part of prayer. If we approach God any other way, we're missing out. We're missing out. I mean, because what happens if you have a landlord and you haven't paid the rent and your shower breaks? You going to call your landlord to come fix it? No, I don't think so. You're going to go without a shower, take a bath until that breaks. And then you got to figure something else out. Because you see, in a tenant-landlord relationship, you always owe something. And unfortunately, that's how we live with God so much, so many times. We live in that tenant-landlord relationship of, God, I hope we can do good enough and this, that, and that. And we bring all of our needs before God and we present all of our needs. And yeah, we're told to do that. God tells us to do those kinds of things, right? I mean, we're told to present our needs before Him and we come and we pray. But we forgot our first love. Our first love, what attracted us to Jesus in the first place, I mean, what God stirred in our hearts and poured His love through His Holy Spirit into our hearts, and that relationship we had in the beginning with Him. And you see, we have that individually, so at home, first thing in the morning, you can get up and you can just be with Jesus, and you can enjoy that time that you were made for as a son or daughter with your daddy. And that's why church is so special, because then you can come together in small groups or in this kinds of settings, whatever, and corporately you can enjoy the Father's love together. Because when you receive that love, your heart just wants to worship, and your heart just wants to give, and your heart just wants. That's what you were talking earlier, Pastor Shane was talking. I mean, it's like you just want to, because you see we're all family. And you see God's heart, because the more time you spend with your daddy, the more you begin to understand who he is and his heart. What's his heart? You. You're his children. And his children that are lost. And guess where they are? All over. And there's certain places in the world where they have little to no chance of ever hearing about that love. Ever. I mean, you've heard the studies and seen all that, but I mean, in the United States, you know, if you lined everybody up on the wall and you said, you know, how many people do you have to go to randomly before somebody will know about Jesus? I think it's like, what, 1 out of 6? Something like that. I forget the exact number. I haven't looked at that in a while. But then you go places like where we live in Montevideo, and you got to go to like 10,000 people before you find one. I mean, so yeah, are there lost people in the United States? Yes, of course. I mean, yeah, we're supposed to love them and extend, and as God pours his love into our hearts, to love our neighbors. Yes, and that's what we want to do. But as you spend time with your daddy, and his heart is broken over the lost, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And you begin to see what's on his heart. I mean, you read through the Bible, you see how many times it talks about the nation. We read the Old Testament, and I think, oh, it's the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. I mean, we think about, you know, that one nation. Yeah, that was a special, but the whole point was through that nation to reach the nations, the rest of them. And now we have been grafted in to that family, adopted, chosen, wanted, a part of it. And as we enjoy that life-giving sap from the vine, we begin to see what's on our Father's heart. As we come into alignment with what he's doing, we begin to see, whoa, God's heart is a heart of love for everyone. And he tells us what true love is, and he explains it to us, and he lives it, and he pours it into our hearts. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, I got to share this love. I got to share it with those that have no chance. I got to share it with my neighbor. Who? My neighbor's not going to have a chance. That's why you're where you're at. That's why you know the people you know so many times. God puts his children in strategic places every single time, because you know people that I'll never get to, and that pastor will never get to, and whoever, you know people that no one else will get to. You're 1 of the 6 or whatever, the 1 out of the 6, whatever. But you know people, and you are in places and work and in home and in your neighborhoods and wherever you're at. You are in places strategically placed by your Father to receive his love and let it overflow into others. We'll never get there. You've been given a treasure. That treasure is Jesus and the relationship we have with him. Well, as I said, me and my wife are home, and we've been with family here this year, and we've had ups and downs, good times, bad times, and I've traveled around a lot and been to a lot of churches and seen a lot of places and visited with people and shared so many good times with so many people and been refreshed in the Lord this year. This has been such a refreshing year for us as a family, for me personally. I know my wife as well. We've been so blessed and refreshed in the Lord this year. It's so good to be a part of this family. I mean, God's family, but in like a sub-family. I mean, the Alliance is such an incredible organization, denomination. How you bless us is incredible. Let me go through this for a minute. That's my family. You saw most of them today. Little one, Lily. She doesn't look like that anymore. She has no hair now. She cut it all off. Anyway, she walked out with her hair all chopped off. And she said, "I'm pretty." I said, "You sure are, but where's your hair?" Anyway, but I'm still getting over it. But in the United States, there's about 2,000 Alliance churches. I visited about 30, 35 this year. And these 2,000 Alliance churches all give into something called the Great Commission Fund. Because, again, that's been our roots. That was our start. In the very beginning, a man named A.B. Simpson had a heart and desire to take this gospel to the law, the people that had no chance of hearing about Jesus, but he couldn't go. And so they began to meet with other like-minded people that thought and worshiped God, and they began to worship together and pray together. And those little prayer meetings turned into what we have today. And they began to give. I mean, they were so overcome by God's heart for the lost. I mean, they would give everything. They were like, you know, Jesus is coming back, and they're not going to know. We got to do something. For all this love that's being poured in our heart, we got to go. And so they began to let God call different ones. And they gave, I mean, they gave their watches, their wedding rings. I mean, they didn't have any money. So I mean, they're just giving everything they have because the urgency of what's about to come and the reality of what's about to happen in eternity was heavy on them. Whether you think about it or not, there are thousands of people, millions of people, I don't know, every day, going to hell. That's a reality. That's not popular to say today. But according to the Word of God, if they do not receive Jesus' love, this gift of relationship with Him, this awesome blessing of sonship, and they die, they spend eternity away from God, where the fire is not quenched. And that's not popular to say today. That's the truth. And so these people had such a burden, God's heart for His children. They gave everything. They didn't hold anything back. And they began to send people. And they sent people to Africa, the first places they went, and they didn't have very good success rate, humanly speaking. I mean, they had, I think, 4 of the 6 people they sent died. You know, I mean, but they kept giving, and they kept sending, and they kept giving, and they kept sending, and they kept praying. They stayed on their knees. They stayed in relationship. God, give us your heart. Give us your heart. Give us your heart. Give us your heart. We want your heart. We want to enjoy your love. We want to be there and live here in your love. And we want, and whoever you want us to go, we want to send. So some are sent, and some stay and pray, and some give. I mean, that's the family. But one mind, one heart. And so out of that was birthed this movement called the Christian Missionary Alliance, where today we have about 2,000 churches in the U.S., with about 500,000 people in the U.S., and then those 2,000 churches support the Great Commission Fund, which is how you send, you know, instead of putting money in an offering plate, now you do that too, but you know, you give into the Great Commission Fund, and that supports, we have about 700 international workers today working around the world, among about 70 different people groups in the world today. We are committed to going to the least reach, those that have the least chance. The dangerous places, so to say, if you watch the news. If you have a nightly news vision of God or of the world, I mean, then yeah, it's a dangerous place. But if you have a good news vision of the world and think, you know what? God loves all these people. The safest place to be is right in the middle of His will. And so you go, and we're going to these places that nobody else will go. We can't even put them on a map. We can't publicize publicly where we're at, because we'd get kicked out. Anyway, if you want more information, I'd love to talk to you about, if God's stirring in your heart and you want to be a part of giving or praying or going. Oh man, I talked to people already, but this is awesome. God's doing some amazing things. So around the world today in our Alliance family, there's about 6 million people, followers of Jesus worldwide today. And I'm here, one of the things I'm here to do is say thank you specifically for giving. Thank you specifically for praying and holding us up. Maybe you didn't know you were doing those things. When you pray for your missionaries, that's what you're doing. Because see, if people aren't praying, nothing's going to happen. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. And if we go to Uruguay or wherever anybody else goes, and we don't have a prayer base, we're sitting ducks. We're going to get picked off. And believe me, I've seen it. I've seen it already. We've been in Uruguay 3 years, and not the Alliance, but I have... We've been in Uruguay 3 years, and in those 3 years, I have personally seen 33 other international workers, not Alliance, but 33 other international workers within those 3 years come and go. For all kinds of reasons. Because you see, where there's a stronghold of the enemy, he's not going to just roll over and play possum. He's not going to just, oh yeah, here you go, you know, my stronghold's right here, but you come on in. But you see, we do have authority over those strongholds and by the blood of Jesus, but we can't go in without expecting a fight from the enemy. We have authority and power over him, but he's just not going to give it up just because, you know, we just showed up. But that's what somehow in God's sovereignty and God's grace and God's all-knowing powers, he partners with us. And in our prayers, he moves. I can't explain all that to you. But I know that without prayer, nothing happens. And we kind of went with a weaker prayer force than we needed. And so now when we're going back, we're asking God for 500 intercessors to be with us at least once a week, if not every day, to pray for us and our family. And that may be a low number. Maybe I need to ask for 1,000. I don't know. If you want to join that as well, we have a way for you to be a part of that. I think there's a sign-up thing out in the back. You can sign up and receive our newsletters and be a part of our intercessors. But thank you for giving. Thank you for praying. Thank you for being a part of this family. It's an awesome family. It's not perfect. It's messy. I love it. All right. If you have your Bibles, you can turn it and just look on the screen. But Luke chapter chapter 3, verses 2 to 6. I'm getting to be as bad as Pastor C here. Keep going and going, right? Hey, in Latin America, that's for 3 hours, so you don't have any plans, right? No, what time is it? No, we're good. All right, Luke chapter 3. Let me read it to you. It says, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. Jesus, we need you to come and pour your love upon us and we want to encounter that love. We want to encounter your presence. We just ask for your presence to be with us right now, as it's already been. We've been enjoying your presence. Maybe we've seen it in a different way today than we ever have. We come as family. We come together corporately as a bunch of people coming together. And we just want to worship you. We want to love you. We want to just sit in your lap and let you love us. And let you show us things corporately. We want to encounter you. We want to rest. We have been so busy and we've been weary and we've been doing so many good works and so many, but we just need to come back to our first love. You. This relationship right here, right now. We just want to lay everything else aside, all the craziness, all the problems, the interpersonal problems, the strives, all the things that keep us occupied in our mind. We just want to come and sit in your presence together, Daddy. I want you to pour your spirit upon us. I ask for your spirit to come and anoint this place, encounter us with your love. I just give you the direction. I give you the you have, you're in control. The Holy Spirit, lead this. you do a way better job than I can ever do. Because you're the one. You're the Father. We just come together and we use our gifts and we use our talents and we walk in our callings that you've given us to do. But it's all to your glory. Yours is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. So we just come and step into this, into your presence. Come and fill this place. Light it on fire. Lord, you called us to be flame holders. Not the flame. Flame holders. You can pour the oil of your Spirit in and ignite it with your Holy Spirit in the presence of Jesus to be right here with us. Yes. We come as family. We come as your children. We're dependent on you for everything. You're building your church right here in this place. You're building it. Can't understand everything. But we know you're a good, good Father. And you love us with a perfect love. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things that John did there, he's going out in the desert. Jesus is on earth, but John here, a voice of one crying out in the desert, he is there rolling the red carpet out, so to say, for Jesus. Prepare the way for the Lord. Get ready. In your hearts, get ready. Turn from your sins. I mean, come and repent. Come, get ready, because the kingdom of God's at hand. It's coming. There's this proclamation, this urgency of proclaiming. I mean, that proclamation has been gone down through the ages. And here we are, and we are proclaiming and preparing the way. You know, what I've talked about so far, even this morning, is preparing the way. It's like when you come into relationship with your daddy, those mountains come crashing down. They're not so big anymore. My daddy's bigger. When you, those things that depression and the hopelessness, those valleys that I'm in, all of a sudden when you come in the presence of God, they're lifted up. And we're just preparing the way for Jesus to come and bring to us healing, bring to us His presence, I mean, bring to us Himself. Everything that He is for you. Prepare the way. Here we are in Uruguay, living in Uruguay. We're going back in a month or so. And we're in a place, and the area of town that we live in is called La Rambla. And La Rambla is about 300,000 people, this stretch of land along the coast. And the evangelical rate is like 0.03%. So, I'm going to do the math. I don't know. It's not very many. And so, here we are in this place, and we feel like we've been given the job of coming and proclaiming this message, right? Of get ready, Jesus is coming. There's hope, there's blessing, there's love, all coming from our Father. There's coming a day when you're not going to have another chance to receive this gift. There's coming a day. And so we get to Uruguay and we see all these people, and there's so much need, so to say. There's so many things to do. And we think, oh man, they need Jesus and they need Jesus, and our kids are in school. And so we begin to go and be a part of the parent life, the school life of our kids, and we've got involved and we begin to do all kinds of activities, and we got really busy. Good things. What we're supposed to do is our job, right? And we begin to fall flat on our faces. We would plan an event and have been weeks of pouring into this event and have it all ready. We'd just invite people and advertise, and we'd have all this kind of cool stuff, and one person would show up. Or nobody. We had an event where nobody showed up. And you talk about discouraging. When you spend weeks preparing for something and people are saying, yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, I'll come. Yeah, I'll come. And nobody shows up. That's discouraging. And we've had many of those opportunities to fall flat on our face. And God began to reveal to us very gently What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm already working. Why do you think you got to come up with a plan? Why do you think you got to strategize a plan? I'm already working, but you're not coming into my presence to see what I'm doing. Jesus said, my Father's always working. He's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And when you strive and work, doing all these good, like just like in Revelation, I mean, the church in Ephesus, it's like you do so many things and you get so busy and busy and busy and busy and busy doing all these things for the kingdom, but you forgot your first love. So God, remind me, your first job isn't to do all those things. Your first job is with me. My child, to sit in my presence. If you don't do anything else, do that. Stay there all day if you need to. If you don't do anything else, come and sit in my presence and learn of me. Receive my love. Hear my voice. Because if you miss that, you've missed everything. If you don't know who you are, you're just out going and going and going and going, doing great things and ministry and all this stuff, and you're so busy, and all of a sudden, you've forgotten that love. You're not living in that power of the Holy Spirit, and you're not living in the relationship because you're so busy doing all these great things. So God brought us to that. We fell on our faces and we repented. God, it's not what we want. We want you. We want you first. You're working. You have a plan. Hello? You've told us you're not willing anybody, any of these people should perish. So what are you doing? We quickly learn, God's not calling us to go do something for him. He's calling us to come do something with him. And when we come and do something with him, it doesn't matter the results. Because he's working, he's in control, he's building his church. And if I'm in alignment as his child with him, and I'm hearing from him, and I mean, we pray, talk, but that's not prayer. Talking is not prayer. That's half of prayer. Not even half, I hope. But prayer is listening and speaking, with listening being the most important part. But that's the part we don't know how to do and we don't do. God wants to pour his Spirit into our hearts. He wants us to see what he's doing, to have eyes to see people, family members, neighbors, people in church. What is God doing? And so I began to, every conversation I started having with people, I would go up to them and I'd be like, God, how do you want to show your love to this person? In my mind, I'm praying this. God, how do you want to show your love to this person? Every single time, that person would open their mouth and ask me a question about showing me where they were, what they're thinking about. I'll give you an example. I was at a birthday party. My best friend, or one of my best friends in Uruguay, who's an atheist, and we're there together at his birthday party. And his wife, my friend's wife, is a Christian, and we're there. And his family's there. And we're having a great time. It's at his parents' house actually, and his dad was there. Mom and dad are atheists as well, and we're sitting around. I mean, atheists. We have all of our friends are atheists. And we're sitting around having an asado, a good barbecue, Uruguayan style, and we're having a great time. And I look over and I see his dad, my friend's dad, sitting over by himself. And I went over and I sat down next to him on the bench, and I just prayed that prayer. God, how do you want to show your love to this person? The guy looked. He's like, he says this thing. He says, "Hey, have you ever looked up at the sky and just wondered where the stars come from?" First thing out of his mouth. I'm like, whoa, okay, God. Yeah, so we started a discussion. We talked for like 2 hours. Just me and him. And we talked. And I got to share everything from creation all the way through, you know, Jesus' life, death, resurrection, ascension. I mean, I explained the whole, I mean, everything. And he talked. We were asking questions. It was a great conversation. We were just talking. And he didn't come to know Christ. It was probably his first time he ever heard the gospel clearly. And I went after the party. I went to my friend. My friend knows I'm a Christian. His wife, you know, whatever. And I said, "Hey, guess what? I just talked to your dad about." He's like, "What?" And I told him, "You know, past 2 hours, we talked about this." And he's like, "What?" And he's like, "I'm 38 years old, and not one time in my entire life have I ever heard my dad talk about anything religious, ever. And you just had a two-hour conversation, and your first time you ever met him? He's like, what? He's like, how is that even possible? You don't believe it, but God opened the door. He started the conversation, not me. And that has happened time and time, 100% of the time, I kid you not, where I have prayed that prayer. God, how do you want to show your love to this person? And somehow a door opens. And I'm able to share God's love in some way or another, some form or another, with this person. Because I'm trying to get in tune with what God is already doing in this person's life. Not what my message is for this person. Not with a Bible bashing them over the head. But with, God, you're working in this person. You're not willing any should perish, right? Okay, and you're always working, right? I mean, Jesus said, you're always working. Right? And no one's going to come to you, Jesus, unless the Father draws them. Okay, so God, how do you want to show your love to this person? I let God lead my evangelistic campaigns. Personal evangelistic campaigns like that. You know, I mean, it's like, and God does it. And I begin to see, whoa, this is true. God doesn't want me to come and go do something for him. He's already there working. Wherever your situation is, he's working. Every single person's life, he's working. Jeremiah 29:13 says, all are seeking God. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Those two words, seek, are two different words in the Hebrew language. That first seek is like everybody's seeking. I mean, you're seeking, and the entire world, no matter where you go, they are seeking. You will seek me. We're seeking God, right? I mean, we're seeking significance or love or whatever it is the world is seeking. Every single person is seeking because that's what God's put in our heart. But you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that seek is different. That's like an intense, devoted, focused seeking. God said, I'm here. I'm not hard to find. I'm not playing hide and seek. You want to find me? Seek me with all your heart. I'm right here. But you're looking for me in all the wrong places. You're looking for love, you're looking for money, you're looking for fame, you're looking for popularity, security, you're looking for all these things, and you're going to all these places looking for them. I'm right here. I'll give you all of it. Maybe not how you think of it, but I'll give you everything you need. It's yours. My child, I take care of my children. My children are never in need, ever. When you want to go and look every place else for what I already want to give you, you're free. I love you. You can make your own decisions. You can look wherever you want. But I'm right here. Seek me. You will find me. Because you see, God wants all of that. I just thought, it's like God gives us purpose. I mean, one of the biggest things we want is purpose. I mean, to get out of bed, have something to do, to know we were made for something. That's what you were made for, is relationship with God. You were made for it. Your heart cries out for it. You want to be seen. And God said to Hagar, remember that story of Hagar when Hagar goes out, she's kicked out and she takes her son Ishmael and they're going out into the wilderness. Remember? And they go out and Ishmael's about to die. She can't bear that thought, so she puts him down and she goes away and she can't bear the thought of seeing her son die. What happened? She was alone. Nobody cared about her. Whether she lived or died, nobody cared about her. Her son's dying. She can't even watch it. And God meets her. And what's God say to her? He reveals a name. Because God meets you. He reveals himself to you. God says, I'm the God who sees. I see you. I see you. I understand you. I know what you're going through. I know what is happening to you because I love you. I see you. see you. And he gives us that purpose from being seen, from being understood, from being loved. And all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'm a new person. I'm a child of the King of Kings. I can wake up today. I can get up today. If God's working already, I don't have to come up with a plan. I got purpose. God, I want to know you. I want to see your love. I want to know your love. I want to feel your. I want to be filled with your love. And now I can go out. And I got purpose all of a sudden. And it's not about me. It goes way beyond me. It goes into eternal things. It's God's love in me being poured out. Not my agenda, not my manipulation, not what I want to see happen. It's God's love being filling me and pouring out of me through the power of His Spirit. We have purpose. He invites us to come along and be a way maker with Him. Ever since the beginning, God's been making a way, right? I mean, you read Genesis and you go through the whole Old Testament, you see time and time again, God made a way. God made a way with Abraham and Isaac. God made a way, I mean, with Adam and their sin, and he made a way, you know, he promised that the Messiah is going to come. And I mean, you, all throughout the Scripture with Noah, I mean, God made a way of salvation. He's a way maker. And again, He's calling you and I to come alongside with Him and be way makers with Him. That's His heart. He wants to make a way. And guess what? When He fills your heart with His love, you're a way maker. Wherever you're at, you're a way maker. Peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The Spirit fills you and that fruit. And all of a sudden now you're a way maker. And you're spilling out these things. I mean, it sounds too good to be true. It's like, wait a minute, that's what I want. This is the deeper life, guys. This is what really is important in life. And it starts with relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, you can have one today. He's right here waiting for you. He wants you to be part of the family. He paid it all. He wants to. He has the papers ready to stamp and seal over you, so to say, of adoption. He wants you in the family. Will you come and receive His love? Say, God, I receive your love, what you did for me. You died, Jesus, for me. You took my sins all upon you, and you want to give me your righteousness. I receive that, your righteousness, covered. I receive sonship. I receive that gift. And as you encounter that love with God, a transaction happens. You become a new creature. You become new. And all of a sudden, He wants to fill you. Now you're His son or His daughter, and He wants to fill you daily with His Spirit, with His love. He wants you to have purpose as His child, to be a way maker wherever you're at. And guess what? He may even call you to go to these least reached places. Why? Because His heart is for them too. He may call you to give. Say, I want you to give more. You got your purse strings tied way too tight. Loosen them up. I gave you all that, not for you to sit on. I'm coming back, and people don't know about me yet. We have people that want to go. I mean, there's people in this congregation that want to go that are struggling because they can't afford it. They can't go, or there's some debt, or whatever it might be. There's things inhibiting them. It's like, okay, the purse strings are right here in your own place so many times. Loosen them up. God, I want so-and-so to go. Here's a big check. God, I mean, well, I love what David said. I'm not going to give God something that doesn't cost me anything. Pittance, 10%. I'm still good. I'm in control. God says, you know, I gave you all that. What are you holding on to it for? You don't think I can bless you beyond those things? I mean, oh my goodness. God loves a cheerful giver. It's a joy to be part of the family, to do these things. Waymakers, people who are transformed, people who love rather than fear. Big thing in our culture, people who proclaim. That's what God wants to make you. That's what God wants to make you. He wants to transform you. He wants you to be so filled with His love, you can walk in the face of things that would frighten the whole world. Our media loves to put fear in our hearts. And the enemy loves fear in our hearts. Perfect love casts out all fear. You can walk right into it. You don't have to be afraid at all. Because God's love is poured into your heart. All right, and the promise. All people will see God's salvation. There isn't anybody that's overlooked. There isn't anybody that can't be reached that you know or that you know of or any place in the world. There is no place, no one, no group that can't see God's salvation. If you're a waymaker, if you have that heart that you've received from your Father, maybe it's time for you to get up and go. It's time for you to be that waymaker. Maybe it's time for you to join with somebody else and say, hey, we work in the same place. Or, hey, let's start enjoying our rights as sonship together. I mean, let's start enjoying our daddy together. Let's pray and love him and receive his love together and just worship him in this place. Declare his name over this place. Let's see what he does. He's working, right? What's he doing? All right, let's just get in alignment with him together. Where two or three are gathered, I'm right there in the middle of you guys. Jesus is with you. He has a plan. All God's people, I mean, all people will see God's salvation. Because the reality is, in our day and age, people are overlooked. There are people traveling all over, like never before in history. Refugees are everywhere, all over the world. People are on the move everywhere. And they're settling right here in your neighbors. You guys are some of them. I mean, you're on the move. And what happens when you're on the move? You're either overlooked. Well, you're overlooked most of the time because you're a group or you're a number or you're whatever. And you're overlooked by society. You're not seen. But in those moments, when you're in transition, when you're the most vulnerable, those are the times that you're willing to maybe receive God's love. Because I need friendship. I need love. I need somebody to care about me. I mean, there's studies. I mean, the immigrants and the people that are coming to the United States, I think it's like 90% of them will never step foot into an American home. I mean, like, someone that's already been here, American home. 90%. Something like that. Don't quote me on that. It's somewhere up there. It's like, what are we doing, church? What are we doing? We're so busy doing all these great things, but we're not understanding who we really are as God's children. We're not walking as children of the light. We're walking in fear instead of freedom. We're walking in dissension and discord and busyness and all this stuff instead of as children, instead of family. There's so much more I could say, but we're gonna finish with this story. Some people that are overlooked in my setting in Uruguay. In Uruguay, every Wednesday afternoon, I meet with a group of older ladies. There they are. Group of older ladies. My favorite hour of the week. I kid you not. I love this hour. I love meeting with these ladies. They are a hoot. They make me laugh. We cry together. I mean, the thing about you have to understand about these ladies is these ladies have taught me more about Uruguay than I could ever hope to learn in a textbook or studying or whatever. These ladies have lived the history and they've told me about it. Now, if you look at them, this circle here, when I first went into this group, probably on that day in particular, I assumed all of them, they were all Jewish ladies, and they're all atheists, which is completely different from what I'm used to growing up as far as older people. Older people love Jesus, right? And older people are praying for me, right? No, these older people, they don't love Jesus. they are all immigrants or were immigrants as children. They were either born in Uruguay when their parents arrived from Europe or they were small children, 3 or 4 years old, 5 years old when they came. the 1930s or 40s. And so these ladies, I mean, because why? What's happening in Europe, right? In Europe, pre-World War II, what's happening? If you're a Jew and you got money, what are you doing? You're getting out. You're getting out. And so who accepted them on a mass? 33%, I think, came to the United States that left. Where did the other 70% go? Places like Uruguay, Brazil, Argentina, places that had opened doors and just like they all went there. Anyway, so many people settled in Uruguay. There's a huge Jewish population. I think the website was like 1%. That's gotta be way wrong because maybe they've stopped claiming. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But these Jewish ladies, they've taught me so much. And I love them so much. And I asked them one time, I said, why is it that people have such a hard time receiving Jesus? And they said, well, it's dangerous. When you believe something so much so that it becomes exclusive, this is it, this is the only way, this is right, you're wrong, then it's dangerous. He said, we saw what happened in Europe when an ideology became more important than anything else. And 11 million people died in the Holocaust. All the other war. I mean, so many people were killed as a result of believing in an ideology. So yeah, Christianity, it's dangerous. And that's kind of like their view of Christianity. And that's what as I said, these ladies have taught me so much. One lady in particular, this lady right here, her name is Perla, Pearl. She's the oldest lady in the group. And can't see, she can't hear. I don't know how she gets to the apartment where we meet. And she's in the beginning stages of dementia. All right, so she comes in and she tells the same stories. She never brings her eyeglasses because she doesn't want to lose them. And if you don't bring them, you never use them. Anyway, so she comes and we have a great, we laugh. I mean, we have a good time together. I hear their stories. You know, all of them have been robbed at some point or another, mugged. Anyway, so I hear all their stories and all this stuff. And anyway, this sweet old lady, I find out she's like our neighbor. She lives like 2 blocks from where we live. We do English Club like 10 blocks away from our house. And this lady lives like 2 blocks away. So I'm like, oh, hey, you know, I can give you a ride home. I can give you a ride, you know, you can ride with me. She's like, no, I need the exercise. Okay, you know, I didn't argue with her. So I'm offering her, every week I'm offering her a ride. Can I give you a ride? No, I'm good. No, thank you. I want to walk. I need to walk. Okay. So one day, Timber goes with me to English Club. Usually I go by myself. And Timber goes with me this one day, and we're there, and I go to Perla at the end of the time. I say, hey, Perla, can I give you a ride home? I said, but we have to go pick up our kids first from school, and then I can take you home. And she said, oh, I'm never around kids. I would love to go with you. Should have thought of that a long time ago. Anyway, finally found the key to get her to ride home with me. Anyway, so we go downstairs. She gets in the car. We're going. We pick up the girls, the two oldest, Madeline and Kaden. We're driving back to her apartment. She lives in a 4th-story apartment in a big apartment building, like most people in Montevideo. And we get to the bottom. Well, first we're driving, and she says, that's my church. She points to this Catholic church. There's not very many in Uruguay, in Montevideo, but here's one. And we pass by, and she said, that's my church. I said, oh, I thought you were Jewish. He said, no, I'm the only one that's not Jewish. I'm Catholic. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. You don't talk about that in Uruguay. It's taboo. And so, anyway, and so, oh, okay, you're Catholic. So we get to her house. We were dropping her off. She says, hey, would you come up and have merienda with us? Tea time. Sure. So we get out. We park the car. We go upstairs. And we've been praying for this time. Like every time we have a one-on-one opportunity with people, we're praying, God, open up the doors. Especially with Perla. She's kind of struggling with dementia already. Help her to be a clear conversation, all this kind of stuff. Help it to be clear. We go up into her apartment, the 4th floor. And there's a piano sitting in the corner of this huge apartment. She lives by herself. This huge apartment, and she has this beautiful piano. My wife says, "Can I play the piano?" Sure. You know, my girls are being really polite and really good. Praise God. And they're sitting there, and they're eating their cookies, you know, and having a good time. Eating probably stale old cookies. I don't know. But anyway, but they're being really good. Timber starts playing these old hymns on a perfectly in tune piano. Whatever. Anyway, so I mean, I think God did that. I never even thought of that until recently. Like that's a perfectly in tune piano. So Timber was playing these old hymns, and the atmosphere in the room just changed. You could literally feel it. And all of a sudden, I'm having this conversation with Perla, and she's clear as a bell. I mean, she's talking completely. She knows exactly what she's talking about. And out of the blue, again, I'm asking God, how do you want to show your love to Perla? And she says to me, she says, I'm just so ready to die. Poof, she cut right to the heart. God, that's what she's thinking. That's what God's doing. He opened the door. She said it. I didn't say anything. I'm so ready to die. I said, what do you mean? She said, I'm a burden to my family. They can't move on with life. I'm still here. I'm a burden to society. I can't contribute anything to society. They're paying for me to live, to be alive. And she swallowed all these lies from our society, from our world, that tell you you're insignificant, you're worthless, you have no point of living. All these lies that God turns around, says, you are my child. That's value. Anyway, she didn't believe that, obviously. She said, I'm a burden to everybody. I just want to die. She said, the problem is I'm too healthy. I can't die. It's a good problem to have. I thought. I know, all right? So I said, Perla, when God opens the door, I just jump right in. I said, Perla, what do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? I didn't argue with the value. I didn't argue with her. I didn't try to change the car. Oh, no. I just went straight for the kill. Perla, what's going to happen to you when you die? The kill, literally. Sorry, that was a bad word. Bad phrase. That was bad. Anyway, I said, Perla, what's going to happen to you when you die? She said, I don't know. She said, I hope I go to heaven. I've been going to this Catholic church here every week here recently. I hope I'm doing good enough. I said, Perla, do you want to know from God's words how you can know you're going to go be with him? And I shared with her a very simple, well, first of all, she said yes, which nobody says yes to that question in Uruguay. And she said, yes, I'd like to know. And I started talking, just shared a very simple, what I shared with you earlier, a very simple gospel message. This is the good news. I said, Perla, would you like to receive Jesus into your life, that gift of salvation, become a daughter of God? Would you like to receive that gift? That's all it is. It's a gift you got to receive. That's it. It's a gift. Do you want to receive that gift? And she surprised me again. She said, yes, I would. So she prayed a very simple prayer. And said, God, I believe you died on the cross for me and rose again. I believe, and I just want to be your daughter. Would you make me your daughter? Very simple prayer. And I walked out of there. And I was just like, whoa, did that just happen? And she started getting weaker and sicker as the months went on. And I began to meet with her probably on a weekly basis if I could. And I'd go and we began studying the Bible together. And she wanted to study the Bible. We went through, I don't know, the first 8 chapters of Romans and just the Gospel of John. And anyway, we did all these kinds of things. And we got to that Romans chapter 8 where it talks about you have not received a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sonship, which cries, Abba, Daddy. And I said, Perla, you can call God Papi, Daddy. She said, I can call God Papi? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's relationship. That's what he wants. He doesn't want you to be formal in that sense. He wants you to be intimate. That's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And she just said, Papi, 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 Papi. And it kind of settled in. Anyway, the months went on. And about 6 months later, I got really sick. I got strep throat. I couldn't talk. I couldn't swallow. It was terrible. For like 2 weeks, it was really bad. Worst case I ever had. So I didn't go see her, obviously. And about that same time, she fell and broke her hip and went in the hospital, and she was there for a few days. And about 2 weeks went by, and I'm fine. I got to call her. I got to see what's going on, how she's doing. You know, I called her house, and her daughter-in-law answers the phone. I said, hey, who we've also developed a relationship because of Perla. Kind of cool. Anyway, I said, how's Perla doing, you know, after she broke her hip? And she's like, well, this was on a Friday. She said, well, Perla died on Tuesday. I said, oh, I'm really, you know, I gave her my condolences and hung up the phone. I just started weeping. I said, thank you, God. Thank you, that's not too late. It wasn't too late for Perla. You made a way for her. She was 91 years old when she received Jesus and 92 when she died. And I said, God, you made a way. You saw her. And you put me right there. And you're working in her heart. And you opened the door wide open. Praise you. She's in your presence right now. She's in your presence. And I said, praise Jesus. Because that's what God does. He makes a way. No matter what you're going through, He makes a way. He loves His children. And He wants you to know who you are as His child. And if you're not His child, He wants you to know you can be today. Don't wait. You're missing out. And if you've left that first love, He's calling you back in. I got blessings for you. Healing for you. You don't have to strive and work hard. Just come and let me hold you. You're my child. Start there. That's prayer. Our Father. That's how Jesus started it. And we just say it and repeat it and go right on our lips. And we stop and think about those two words. It changes the way you pray forever. You'll never pray the same again when you get a hold of what those two words mean. And who you are and who He is and the life He has for you. Because He loves His children. I don't know what God's saying to you today. I don't know where you're at. If God's doing working in your heart and doing business over something today, don't leave. Satan's a masterful distractor. As soon as you leave these doors, you know, you're gone. You're thinking about different things. And you know, this time tomorrow, you won't even remember anything I said. But if the Holy Spirit's working in your heart right now, don't leave. I think God's calling us to linger. You just want to linger in His presence. He's right here. He's calling you. Wherever you're at, He's calling you. He wants to pour His love into your heart. He wants to make you a waymaker with Him. He's tender. He's a gentleman. He'll wait. His patience is far greater than mine. He loves you with an everlasting love. And He says, come. If you're tired, you've got a big load on your back, you're ready to rest, come. I can take that load off. Stop striving. Stop doing things for me. Come and rest. And you don't know Jesus. You don't know me. Come and receive my gift that the church calls salvation. I've given it. I want you to have it too. Will you receive it? It's for you. Paid the price. You ran away. You've been running from me. I've chased after you. I sent my Son and He died for you. He took all my wrath against your sin. I'm the one you've come against and you've fought against. I took all that wrath and all of that and I put it on my own Son so that you could be my Son too. And then Jesus conquered that. He blew it up. He blew the devil up. Satan thought he got him. All that wrath and sin, all that was put upon Jesus. Jesus overcame it all. He rose from the dead. Because see, the punishment for a sin is death. Eternal death. Separation. Jesus blew that up when He rose from the dead. He was the first one. He wants you to have new life, to be brought to life just like He was. If you will receive that today. I'll let Pastor C come.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.